Welcome to part two of our conversation with Joe Campbell about the demon-infested home. Let me ask you this. So you get pointed in the direction that this house is sitting where was once Indian Reservation. We probably don't necessarily know the answers to, burial grounds or anything of that nature. Before all of this started with this activity in this house, you said it was formerly the uncle's house, built in the 70s, kind of passed in through the family. They get the house. Did this activity in the house just kind of start up out of nowhere, or had there always been something that had been going on in the house from generation to generation?
Yeah, funny you ask, because I don't know in the beginning when they first got the house and before, because they were renovating this house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they tore down walls, put walls up, and whatever. Usually when you have restoration going on, you'll have activity tighten mm-hmm. up.
Sure.
You know that just as well as I do. So that's what I think that's when they started witnessing this issue that's happening now. It's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
When they started renovating in a house. And, you know, it doesn't take just one night to renovate a house. It takes time to, it takes steps and time and everything like that to renovate something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overnight. So I think they started, from what I get, they started witnessing this stuff when they started renovating. Yes.
So they begin renovating and then they start to have these experiences. I mean, that's got to be kind of startling as to, you know, trying to figure out why this is happening. What's going on? You get this evidence. You're talking to them about it. A demonologist says, yes, that voice is demonic. What course of action do they take at that point when someone points out and says, this ain't good?
Yeah, they said, well, we want you to come back out again, which I'm going back out there next Saturday.
Okay.
And next Saturday, we'll take a trip out there again to take care of this in this house. So basically, a psychic medium is going to be there, a demonologist, and a couple of investigators from Hoosier Haunts out there in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go in there and investigate again for a little while. It's not going to be a full-blown investigation like last time, but our thing is to go in there and take care of this issue and relieve this family of whatever's in this house, or we could try to do that. And we promised her we would definitely help her as much as possible, because it doesn't sound good. And I kind of figured it had something to do with the land also.
How confident are you that you'll be able to help exercise what's in this house out?
That's really hard to say. I mean, we could actually go in there and, or we could go in there and they do what they can, they'll do what they do, and maybe they'll get to go. And let's just say, hopefully, health issues and everything else in the house, and depression and 2020 and whatever does not bring that entity back.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's a big factor? That's a big factor, just the mindset of an individual of when you have something that is dark in the house, that if you're already suffering from anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, and I'm not necessarily saying that they are suffering from those ailments, but if one is, are those things basically almost kind of like sticky tape where it's going to keep those entities tight to them until that's able to be released.
Absolutely. Because you could get rid of something all you want, but if you have depression or you worry all the time or you're just a down person, that could possibly come back again.
Yes. And that's horrible because, I mean, obviously there's ways of working through those things, but some of it is very clinical. Some of it's very, body chemistry based, where it's a balance thing and many just don't have necessarily great control over that. There's obviously therapy and medications that can help with those sort of things. But how much, when you have something like this, how aware is your client of those factors of being under the understanding and realization that this is a two-way street? It's not just you guys showing up as Ghostbusters and, you take it out, that they have to be an active participant in this recovery. I mean, just as if you were trying to recover from whatever you may be trying to recover from, the person who has it has to be an active participant. It's not just take a pill and you're done. It's I have to work at this. I myself have to put myself in a brighter space, in a brighter light, and more positivity to help with getting through this.
Yeah, and paranormal investigators, seasoned paranormal investigators know this. You have to have a better outlook on life. You have to be a better person. You can't always live in dread, or you can't live in depression your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to basically, you get to actually bring something in on your own. Not saying that you're a terrible person, mm-hmm. or you're playing with Ouija boards or whatever. I mean, that's not the case. Basically, they feed off of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They feed off of negativity. And when you have negativity in your home, that's what you get.
What's your thoughts on how this came to this family? I mean, I know we've talked about the land having its history to it, but that always doesn't necessarily then equate to demonic infestation in a home. They did some remodeling, again, taking some drywall down, putting up some walls, doing whatever. Again, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have demonic infestation in a home because it was built on former Indian reservations. Where does something like this come in? Is it the energy of the individuals in the home, the negativity, that it just kind of becomes a beacon and something that's passing by through the ether sees it and says, I'm going there. I see a light on in that house. Or is something brought in? Is some action taken? Any ideas as to how something dark like that, that's going to say, we like your pain, came to this family?
Yeah, but you can obviously see, because we did our investigation and we had a hard time basically getting anything. But when she did it, it was attracted to her. Mm-hmm. So something from somewhere, possibly the land, it could have been from a store, it could have been from whatever, I latched onto her.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feeds off of her. But if she has severe anxiety, if she has, depression, it will feed off of her and it attracts to her. So it does not want to leave because it is basically feeding what it doesn't have or it couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I believe that it all comes down to her. That's what I think. And it's messing with the kids also, which I believe they're at home more than the husband is. Because I believe the husband, he works, So he's gone 8 to 10 hours a day, and they're home basically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure it's feeding off the week, which would be the kids, and it's feeding off the mother, which found out she ended up with health problems.
Mm-hmm.
She, and you kind of, then you got to think, are these health problems due to what is in the house? Because basically people can actually end up sick if you actually have something that is feeding off of you and make you feel dread and make you, and it just basically just,
mm-hmm.
you know, makes you sick.
Let me ask you this, because this is something, and whether it pertains to this case or not, but we hear it quite often, and I think quite often it's probably overused, but the idea when you have something fairly dark, people, you know, they try to look at the land, they try to find what the history is, and quite often the connections are made of, well, it's an Indian burial ground, or it's a reservation, whatever it may be. Where does that connection come into play? Because when I think of Native Americans anything of that sort, I don't think demonic. I think spiritual. I think, very much connection to nature, land, and energy and our world. I don't jump to demonic. Why is it that we seem to jump to that sort of conclusion in many of these cases where something does seem pretty dark? And then those dots connect of, well, this land does have this history to it and something dark is happening here. It's just bizarre to me that we seem to go demonic with it, or that those dots do seem to point in a similar direction sometimes.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm not a demonologist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a psychic. I'm not anything other than basically a paranormal investigator. I cannot stand there and tell somebody, yeah, this is demonic, because I don't know. But it's kind of creepy when you think about it. These kids dream about hands coming out of the wall, trying to grab them. And then literally when you wake up, you have to walk down the hallway that you've seen hands coming out of the wall to try to grab you. And them playing with imaginary friend.
Yeah.
That kind of creeps me out too. That's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, that ain't good.
Do you wonder if there's more than, do you believe there's more than one entity in this house, or do you think it's one thing that's taking shape of different things and representing itself in different ways at different times to different people?
Yeah, I believe there's more than one. Okay. Because the first time I'm going back to that first EVP, I am, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different voice. Totally different tone. It wasn't as strong as the EVP. And when it said, get me out of here, it wanted to leave.
Yeah.
So that's why there's got to be more than one in that house.
Not necessarily all demonic, but different entities.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
How are the kids coping with this and these disturbing experiences that they've been going through with the hands, with the voices, with all that? I mean, I'm assuming mom and dad aren't necessarily playing the EVPs for the kids, but what is their mindset? And how is mom and dad explaining this to them?
I think, right now, I think they're just living the same way they have been, like mm-hmm. sleeping on a couch. As far as because I over my podcast, I heard them come in, and it seems like they're a bunch of happy kids, because mm-hmm. they came home with the dad, and they were, hi mom, bye, kiss, and that's good. I mean,
they're not cowering in fear day to day. That's good.
Yeah. So it's not like fear day to day, but you could tell when they go to sleep.
Yeah.
They have issues.
And that will certainly leave a lasting imprint on them, even once this is resolved. That hopefully they can get some help for, so it doesn't, you know, manifest itself later in their lives in terms of anxiety, depression, things of that nature, which it easily could, even if all of the darkness and actual entities that may be there are gone. Just the psychological damage, you know, that could be there from their experiences.
Well, and hopefully when they get older, they forget about what had happened and nobody brings it up again.
Likely that's not how that works. I don't really know many who've gone through trauma that went, totally forgot about that. It's gone. Nope. Don't remember the hands. I mean, unless it's repressed. But, you know, I mean, repression is one thing. But again, that just doesn't necessarily mean a good thing, though, either, because it's still lurking in the depths.
you're right. You're right. You could always, you know, wish that they just forget about it and move on with their life. But, of course, like most, you don't forget.
No, that's going to be something and a very difficult thing to be able to bring up with a therapist or anything of that nature, because of the nature of what they're talking about. I mean, to be saying you're seeing hands coming through the walls or things of that nature when you were younger, that's not going to be looked upon. No therapist. I mean, very few therapists are going to go, okay, yeah, you really saw that. You know, it will be looked at as some sort of, you know, hallucination or experience of a psychiatric break almost. I would imagine, depending on who you're talking to. But I truly hope that they're able to get, you know, the help that they need once this is over to deal with these sort of things and process it and then move forward in a positive way.
So and people will have to listen to start listening to stuff like this, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. What are you talking about? There ain't no such thing as that.
Yeah.
There is such thing as that. There's when people start saying, because I'm the type of person, I'm hearing this, I'm seeing this, I go into a home or wherever, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
Sure.
Now, they say, well, you might think I'm crazy. No, I don't think you're crazy at all.
No, I mean,
if you're hearing this, if you're hearing this, seeing this, whatever, good possibility that's what you're seeing and hearing.
And that's
calling us for a reason.
And that's what needs to be taken in and evaluated when going into a situation. If someone's saying they're having those experiences, whether it is paranormal related or not is the question to be answered. But someone can certainly be having those experiences, and it could be related to a psychological condition, a psychotic break or something of that nature. It could also be related to having a paranormal infestation of some sort that they are, in fact, experiencing in real time. And that's unfortunately the world we live in. Beyond that, though, is okay, the trauma that you endure through something like that is not going to be looked at the same way as if you went to a counselor or a therapist and you were talking about an abusive partner or something of that nature and how to work through it. But in many ways, that trauma can be just as deep and just as affecting, if not more, than a physical or a mental abuser that is alive. You still have to find ways of processing those things and working through them. And one just hopes that a family can do something like that to work their way through it. Well, Joe, I truly hope that when you visit them again, that things do calm down, that you're able to give them, if you're not able to get rid of it this next time, but get them some sort of direction to have this eradicated out of their home.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're going to do what we can to deal with whatever's in there. And like we said, we're going to like we told them, we're going to help you out, and we're going to figure it. We're going to get to the bottom of it and try to make your life much better than, you know, than what's going on. Maybe the kids will sleep in their bedroom now, or maybe it may take time for them to sleep in their bed now. But it's not there anymore. The dreams will stop, and so they will be able to sleep. Maybe her health will get better. Anything to help them out, try to help the family out, the kids, yeah.
And then once you are walking out the door and have eradicated, you can leave them with some commemorative can koozies that say, "Joe, help me get the demon out of my house." Had to light.
I don't have any can koozies that said that.
There you go. You know, that's something you got to look into. Had to leave it on a bit of a lighter note.
No, I get it.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Joe Campbell about the demon-infested home. Big thank you to Joe for joining us today to discuss the case that he's working on. And a big thank you to you for supporting our program and keeping us on the air. We could not do this without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.